This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Big Chris Live, the live stream, and then the podcast. We are streaming live tonight thanks to DeanBlundell.com, our podcast host. You can find all back episodes from the previous season, all stored there. And here we are kicking off a new season, I guess. It's episode 38 called The Old Switcheroo, which means that I have a special guest here. He's been on the podcast before, so for those who've been following along, Lou McDonald, good evening, Lou, to you.
Good evening, Chris.
So Lou's here because we were having some drinks one night in a garage, and I liked some questions that he was asking me. I thought he was a very good, inquisitive, but yet thoughtful interviewer. So I thought that to kick off this season, I would have Lou on to join me and interview me a little bit about what's coming up in the upcoming season, life, liberty, all the things. Lou, why don't you just take it away?
Okay. Well, did you want to talk about radio? You want to talk about the upcoming season?
All of it, man. Yeah. So that, we can start with radio if you feel like that. The other thing too that I should say about Lou is that we found this out when he was on the podcast before. And I didn't know this. You use the words, you grew up listening to me. Is that for real?
High school. I would have been late high school when you were doing the morning show on K-Rock in Kingston. God.
And now you're doing the afternoon drive show at K-Rock in Kingston.
Yeah. I mean, it's just gone lightning fast. But and I'm sorry, I had a lot of fun talking with you in that garage that night, but I was drinking. So I'm trying to think of something. What I remember talking about though was that, so when did you get your first radio job and when did you defect from radio?
When did I defect?
Because you had a little, you went into the, you're involved in the forces, weren't you?
Oh, okay. Yeah. That period in my life, I was like, wow, defect is a real strong term.
you came back.
Yeah, no. Yeah. So my first radio job was actually in the Ottawa Valley, a small town called Pembroke, Ontario. And the station was called Star 96 FM. And I did the midnight to 5:30 AM shift. That was like an internship. Like that was my first gig as my internship out of college. And then I worked in Kingston, was my first part-time gig at Chorus Entertainment in Kingston. And I did weekend mornings on Country 96. And I produced AM OHL hockey games, the Kingston Frontenacs. I produced them, their games live on the AM radio station. So that was my first sort of paid gig in radio.
You have to, when you say produce it, so there's the live game broadcast on the show. And do you have to record the sound of goals and replay those back for the post-game interviews and things like that?
No, sometimes the host, Jim Gilchrist, would have like a pre-recorded interview that he'd want me to play back, of some interview that he did with Mike Zigomanis or someone who is, a Kingston Frontenacs alumnus. Often it was more so that I would come in and do like out of town OHL scoreboard updates in between periods and stuff like that, and sort of play some commercials and stuff. And I will admit this now, like years later, I was always hungover, or I fell asleep during some of those games. And I remember the host, Jim Gilchrist, just being like, Chris, are you there? Are you there? And I just wake up to him saying, are you there? Like screaming, are you there? Through the phone. And of course I would be like, hey, I don't know. The phone, it cut out there for a moment. And then he filed like a whole long thing with the engineering department. And he was like, there's something wrong with the thing. And really, it was just me falling asleep.
Did you ever, this is going to make sense after I ask it. Did you ever go to university or have like those 4 years of like university partying early 20s?
No, so I not really, no. So I was in Algonquin College,
yeah,
Ottawa alum, and I just sort of ended up in Kingston. But the thing was, is in Kingston, I had friends that I went to high school with who were then at Queen's University in Kingston. So so I still feel kind of like I got the party experience without having to actually do the study experience.
Exactly.
Because I got to go, we're all the same age, but of course I was in and out within a year and a half of community college for broadcasting. You know, and so so it was great to just like party with these guys who were doing like 4 or 5 years at university and that I knew real well, right? So it was kind of cool.
Yeah, because when you talk about being hungover and missing the other broadcaster there on those games and stuff like that, I have so many similar stories, and it's just, I think about how hard the partying was in those early radio jobs in your early 20s. And it kind of felt like the university experience in a way, but you're just working, albeit very hard and not for a whole lot.
Yeah. There was, you know, there was, yeah, there was some pretty lean times there. I think the leanest of times though was in Hamilton, actually, to be honest. That would have been, I mean, Hamilton is a city, if you had to really describe it, it's weed and tattoos. man, that's all I think about when I think of Hamilton is weed and tattoos, and it in a good way. Don't get me wrong. Yeah, that's when I think about when I was the most broke or the most, you know, sort of desperate or whatever, you know, like a starving radio person was in Hamilton, right? So
do you have tattoos? You get a tattoo in Hamilton?
No, I never did. I
just smoked weed there, eh?
A lot of weed, yeah. A ton. Like I crossed over to another level in Hamilton. Like I moved to Hamilton and I was a Beatles fan, and then I left Hamilton and I was a Stones fan. You know, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it does. It's a really interesting way of putting it.
Yeah. No, it was a good time though. I mean, the crew there was awesome, and yeah, I did have a lot of late nights and a lot of grinds and a lot of like eating a spoonful of peanut butter for dinner a couple of nights in a week, you know, until payday, kind of nights.
I would do Prince George, stay up to midnight on the day before payday. So you get paid at midnight and then order Domino's.
Yeah, I know that one.
Well, like make a stupid financial choice right out of the gate.
Yeah. I'm going to order a fleshlight off of eBay. Only slightly used fleshlight.
Oh, man.
It's a good deal.
Close to it. I mean, I never did, but
yeah.
I did some stupid shit. How old were you when you got to Kingston for the first time? Because you came back to Kingston, right?
Oh, I came back a bunch of times. Yeah, I was like 21 when I first went there. I was painting houses for a little bit after my internship ended at Star 96 in Pembroke. And then I ended up in Kingston, you know, on that part-time gig. And I was 21. I remember just after my 21st birthday. So, yeah.
So you had multiple stretches where you lived and worked in Kingston.
Yeah, multiple. Like, so I ended up in Kingston part-time, and then I went to Cornwall, Ontario for a full-time gig at Rock 101.9, doing music and afternoon drive. And then came back to K-Rock in Kingston doing weekends and then eventually afternoon drive, and then went away. And that's when you're talking about my break or my split from radio. Excuse me. This bubbly fucking water here.
Bubbly's so good though.
Yeah.
I haven't thought about bubbly. Quick interjection.
Yeah.
When we start like getting bubblies and other carbonated waters into like fountain machines at fast food restaurants, like that's when we've truly advanced as a society, I think.
Oh yeah, 1,000%.
I mean, the Coke will still exist, but to have like a bubbly on.
Yeah. I mean, it's dominating, man. It's growing. It's a growing market. That's why they've come out with Coca-Cola's come out with.
How many do you crush in a day?
How many? Oh man, my wife won't let me fucking forget it. Like I'm restricted to like 3 a day.
Yeah,
she's got.
It's easy to drink 7.
I'm rationed. Yeah, totally rationed.
Okay, so anyways, when you left radio for the first time,
Thesis was loving you interjecting me there. They're like, shit, he's gonna talk about the army stuff. Let's shut him up. So that was after I was doing Afternoon Drive at K Rock, and then I ended up just through like the craziest like turn of events, I ended up with the Canadian Forces for 3.5, almost 4 years. With running a special radio station in Kandahar City, Afghanistan. And perfect segue, that's going to be on more in the upcoming season of this podcast. I'll be doing a special on Afghanistan, interviewing maybe some of my former colleagues, some other people who have other different experiences in Afghanistan, doing a whole thing. And here's the other thing too, it was a big part of the news cycle for a while there. Haven't seen much of it right now, so I think it's time to sort of reinvigorate the discussion about it, because it's a very interesting, I find it's a very interesting topic, and my experience there is pretty wild. So I won't spill too many guts about that on this episode, but more to come, and lots of interesting discussion about that project that I can share coming up on this season. So that was like almost 4 years of my life. And then I ended up in Hamilton. And so I had this really great gig with the Forces. This is this was kind of shitty, but also funny at the same time in a dank way. I had this gig with the Forces, right? And then that contract ended. And so all of a sudden, I'm an absolute specialist for the Canadian Forces. And I was making some pretty good coin doing that. And then all of a sudden the tap just got turned off and I didn't really save any of it. And so I ended up in Hamilton, and of course the shock, it was basically splitting my salary in half. And I was just living, paycheck to paycheck, but partying hard. I don't know how you find money. Like if I had the money back that I spent at the bar or on weed, you know what I mean? I would probably be okay. I'd be able to make my electric bill, but,
everything's getting more expensive I am used to drinking like a fair bit of beer on the weekend. We don't have to get too into your finances, but I am curious just because, I'm 30 years old working in radio, and I'm thinking about that stuff more now, I guess, like sustainability or like what do I want? Or like, maybe I can live within my means here. But when did you start saving money?
I still not much saved, man. I've got a little bit put away, but like it's an RRSP, but it's not like you wouldn't know it if you looked at the amount that's in there.
Same. I don't save.
Yeah.
What was I gonna say? Oh yeah, like the Christmas Carol, the Charles Dickens there, and there's a ghost of future past and future present.
Oh yeah,
okay. Be like a radio Christmas Carol, like Ghosts of Radio Future, and it's you come and you're like, you still haven't saved anything. You got shit. No.
Yeah, no. I have that ghost is my wife. That's who that is. That's haunting me every day about my discretions. So I mean, financial. There's no other discretions. I swear.
How long do you think your longest radio, I'm not saying that you have had one, but like, how we kind of go up and down and like waves and energy to the show and creativity. And then it feels like a slog for a little bit, but you always seem to come back. Can you relate to that? Would you say that there's an element of that?
All for the your time. Radio use? All the time. And it's doubly worse when when you've got a partner or a couple of partners even on like a team show. Not speaking specifically, but just in general. It's difficult sometimes because everybody's going through that at some point. You know what I mean? You never know. So sometimes it screws things up, right? But yeah, of course. But sometimes something will inspire you, right? And when you crank out a good bit or something, or you do something compelling, I think it inspires more. It's a good spiral to get into, right? That goes for anything, really. Comedy, anything. Stand-up comedy, anything. Really.
I like that. Because when I was in college and just starting on college radio, I liked when I heard a bad bit, because it kind of, at that age where I was in radio, it made me feel like, oh, maybe you can do this. Where the great bits would stress me out, give me anxiety. And now, 10 years later, when I hear a good bit, that's when I get pumped up and inspired. And then it's the bad bits that bum me out now.
Yeah. No, that's a good place to be, man. You know, and you know what I like too is like having like other people at your station have good bits to inspire you too. Like that was the other thing too. Like as desperate and crazy as things got off mic in Hamilton, the on mic stuff was so great. The team there was so great, right? And we all were cranking out good content. And so it was kind of like when all horses are, you know, they're racing and they're just, you know, competitively sort of trying to race in front of each other, right? And so when you get into an environment like that, you can find other people who inspire you and you inspire other people, and it creates a nice cycle. That's rare now, though. I mean, yeah. There's only, what, like 3 people that work at a radio station now? So.
It's crazy. Yeah, like just you saying 12 to 5:30 a.m. shifts.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I know, man. That's wild to think about, right? That someone would have to actually stay up and do that now.
Yeah. But now it kind of makes me think, though, why don't they let people just record these weird little Twilight shows, you know, or like, yeah, late night weirdness, you know?
There was, I'm trying to think of where it was. They had like a recorded like monkey or something that was doing overnights. Like as a bit, like it was produced, like it was like a recording thing of like, you know, this monkey is hosting this overnight program, and it would just Bubbles the monkey, or I don't remember whatever it was.
That sounds great.
Yeah,
trash can falling, monkey screaming.
Yeah, shoot your shot. You know, like do something. I don't care. You know what I mean? Like it's better than just IDs and music.
Yeah.
Yeah, in my opinion.
Do you listen to like a lot of different stuff right now? What's your intake on it?
Oh, this was great, because when we were hanging in that garage, you were like, you know, I didn't know that you were into music. And I was like,
you didn't seem like a music jock, though.
Well, that's the thing. You have to evolve, right? I evolved out of music. I love doing music, but I realized there's only one Jeff Woods. You know, there is only one voice that knows rock and roll and who's actually hung out with Ozzy Osbourne and who's actually hung out with David Bowie. You know what I mean? There's only one of those type of guys. I'm like, I'm never going to be that guy, you know? So I knew I had to evolve out of that. But yeah, I really do love music, man. So who am I listening to right now? To be honest, Billie Eilish. But I think if there's like a contemporary new artist that I think is really good right now, I think it's Billie Eilish. I don't care what genre people classify her as. I just think she's really good at what she does. And her music videos are fucking good. The one that she directed herself was really good. But outside of that, like just what's on my like most recent playlists, Reverend John Misty. Like kind of like roots rocky kind of stuff. I'm going roots rocky.
He's really funny. His
lyrics are funny, man. Yeah.
Isn't that an interesting thing when the actual funny, witty lyric, that's kind of a thing that you don't hear a lot lately.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's, you know, that's the thing. I'm finding that all the arts that I love are dying ones. And yeah, you're right. You're 100% right. And that goes for a lot of things in music too.
It hurt with Norm Macdonald this week.
Oh, fuck, man. I could talk about Norm Macdonald all the time. And you know what? I wish I had some fucking clips all loaded up if I was smart. If I did some show prep like a pro, I would have clips loaded up. But I
find myself talking about him all yesterday and all through today and late Tuesday. And Jesse Mods, who you've had on this podcast before.
Yep.
We got to see him a couple times in Calgary, but there's just multiple calls like for the last 3 days of just calling each other and saying more of like, do you remember this joke? Remember this one? Hey, I just sent you a YouTube video. Watch that. All Norm stuff.
Yeah.
And, it is just truly so funny.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, my favorite thing is him on talk show interviews. And I posted a great one from David Letterman. It's on my Instagram. I'm sorry. I wish I had it queued up to play here, but at Big Chris Radio on all platforms, Chris with a K. But on my Instagram, I posted it, and it's him on David Letterman. And he's telling the story about, because he's from Ottawa, right? My hometown. So, you know, he went to Algonquin College. I went to Algonquin College. It's kind of like a connection. Like, I just always felt connected to the guy, and I always thought he was hilarious. So he was telling a story about a football rivalry in Ottawa between the two universities and the big game. And he has this really, really funny story. Anyways, I posted it up there. I wish I'm not going to retell the whole thing because it's, you know, won't do it justice, but it's out there. And yeah, I could just go on all day about the different interviews that he's been just wild. And Dennis Miller, remember Dennis Miller had that talk show, and he goes on and he starts talking about how, you know, smoking cocks and like smoking cigarettes is like smoking cocks, and makes this whole analogy. And it's just like, wow. Yeah. It was wild. I would say my two favorite comedians when I was like, maybe like graduating high school and going into college, like when I was really discovering what comedy, that, you know, the art form that was comedy. It wasn't just Seinfeld on TV, that Seinfeld, you know, does stand-up comedy, you know, kind of like, you know, that there's other comedians out there that are doing this for a living, right? And so I started to discover, yeah, it would be Norm Macdonald, and then George Carlin too, who had been, of course, around for years, but I just really found myself finding George Carlin, and then and Norm too, right? So yeah, huge loss, man. That was such a bummer this week. Really was.
Someone asked me yesterday, how many comedians are out there now that you would pay to see? Like, who's at the top of that list for you now?
Like pros?
Yeah.
Like the big ones? Oh, man, you know, that's the thing.
I'm
an oddball.
Up and comers too. Like, you would pay, you would take time to you would have to call a babysitter and pay an affordable ticket to go see them.
Well, oh yeah, like a night out comedian. Yeah. Yeah, I don't, I don't remember. I think the last time I saw an arena comedian was like Dane Cook. But even then, it was like not really something that I don't go to see those kind of comics, man. I'm afraid to say, like, maybe too hipster of me to say, but like, I love the club shows. I just love going to the club and seeing the other comics, just even the amateurs grinding it out, coming up with stuff, working with stuff. I mean, the vibe, that's what it's all about, is the vibe. Yeah. You know, for me, it's about the scene, you know, because I do a little comedy myself. So, you know, I know a lot of people. So it's nice just to catch up with them and see their act and have a good laugh. And then, you know, and it used to be, hopefully maybe want to get one day again soon. You know, you get up to 5 minutes at the start. Somebody invites you up. Hey, we're short. Chris, why don't you hop on? You know, so I'm always just like, I just like being around, you know. Yeah. That's what it's about for me.
The two comedians you had the last time I was on your show, they're Barry comedians.
Yeah. Oh yeah, Ariana and Jeff. Yeah, they're great, man. Yeah.
So funny, yeah.
Yeah. Ariana, actually, she was just messaging me the other day. She was like, hey, when's your podcast coming back? She wants to come on again. So yeah, I'm definitely going to have her back, man. And yeah, of course, you're welcome to tag along with Lou, as always. I'll get her back on. And shout out to Ariana Pyle, comedian from here in Barrie. Yeah, all of
and
it.
Jeff was too? A comedian?
Jeff Faulkner, yeah. Jeff Faulkner lives not that far from me now that we live here.
Okay, cool. So have you gotten to encounter that vibe you're talking about, or you haven't really visited that post-pandemic?
Well, yeah, no, not post-pandemic, man. And even then, like, even maybe a year before the pandemic, I sort of faded out. I got real like heavy into the comedic scene here in Barrie and Toronto a little bit for a minute there. You know, when I was, when we first got up here, but then, you know, I was living in Newmarket, which doesn't have very much comedy, at least it didn't at the time. And so it was like either way to drive to Toronto to do comedy or drive to Barrie, it was like 45 to an hour minimum, you know, traffic and so on and so forth. And so eventually you just get tired of it, man. You just get tired of like just driving so you could do 5 minutes and try out a new joke, you know, for like six people at a bar, you know, or whatever. It's easier when you're in the city. It's easier when you're living in the city and you can take the subway and you can go down and do like five shows in one night. You get five minutes at different clubs, you know? That's what you have to do, really. So I just sort of got tired of it. But now that I'm living in Barrie, now that I live here and have an address here, I can't wait to get out there. And I know that with Ariana messaging me wanting to come on the podcast, I mean, she has something to promote, which is great. That means there's comedy happening soon. So, yeah, I really look forward to, doing some shows again soon. Sometimes I hope, man, because, yeah. You know, now that I'm a dad and all the life changes that I've had, like I got to sit down and write some jokes, but at the same time, I think there's some gold there to be dug out for sure.
What's the, not to put you on the spot, what is an observation that you've had recently in your dad adventures?
Oh, an observation?
Yeah. I'm not saying necessarily a joke, just what's an observation that you're like, well, here's something I didn't think about that is now a thing.
So many things that I don't think about. Just ask my wife. I mean, man, I don't think about like, oh, she should have like, you know, it's a little cold out and the sun sets earlier now. She should have little boots on her feet. Like, I don't think about those things. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, basic survival things sometimes I don't think about. So thank God my wife is around.
What's your reaction to bagpipes? Do you got to...
So because I do love the bagpipes and I play the pipes, I've been slowly trying to get her into that. You know, I have a little tiny thing called the practice chanter, so it's like a little like a flute or like a little recorder, you know.
Yeah.
And so you know, you play it, and so she hasn't been, she doesn't smile, but she doesn't get upset either. So I'm hoping we can, you know, maybe get some definition in the next few weeks or so.
And back to your music, I'm sure you're playing her a lot of Manchester.
Oh, yeah.
80s, 90s rock.
Always. Always. Yeah, man, that was the one thing we connected on. Have you checked out Second Coming yet?
I have finally listened to the second Stone Roses record. Yeah. And it's good. It was good.
I know. It's not that shitty, right?
Yeah, but I guess just because it was the follow-up to, you know, something that was so hailed.
I know.
It was never going to live up to expectations. It was fucked before it began, probably.
Yeah. Well, and also, and Oasis fell into this trap too with Be Here Now. They just did too much cocaine. I think that's really, you know what I mean? I think say what you want, but it's a cocaine record for sure, man. I mean, you just listen to those riffs, like those, like I think the opening track is 24 minutes long. I mean. You know, Oasis released Do You Know What I Mean, but they released also like a 17 minute version or something like that, like as a B-side one time, and I was like, oh, give me a break.
I've never made this connection before, but so a cocaine record is like an indulgent record where have the ability to edit or to scale down,
like overproduce, man, like Oasis would Be Here Now. I think in one of the songs, I think it was Do You Know What I Mean, there was something like 42 guitars layered on top of each other. Like, you don't need that kind of many guitars, right? Like,
yeah. So it makes sense, like, because the person at the party that's on cocaine is talking about themselves too much, or just talk too much in general, and the artist in the studio on cocaine making a record has a 24-minute song with 30 guitar tracks on it.
Yes, that's exactly the same thing happening. Yeah. So yeah, Second Coming, Stone Roses. I think it's one of those. I mean, it's speculative, but yeah, I would think it's safe to say that that's one of those records. Yeah, man, I love the Manchester stuff. It's so cool that you do too.
Yeah, Verve as well. I'm not sure if they're from Manchester exactly, but just
no, UK. They're part of that scene though. Yeah, man, the Verve is actually the band that probably got me to that scene initially. Actually, Urban Hymns was like just a monster record, and I just remember listening to it. Like other songs, not Bittersweet Symphony, but like Sonnet, and yeah, I mean, you just go deep.
Drugs Don't Work, Lucky Man, Rolling Lucky People.
Man is incredible. It was like one of the first songs I wanted to learn when I picked up a guitar. You know what I mean?
So that band just couldn't stay together. They loathed each other.
Yeah, it's something about British bands, man, that they just, I don't know whether, I I just think that they're all, again, I think that they're just all drinking and doing coke. I think that's really that's how they stay so thin, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know why. And they just have been massive fights for no reason over.
Flare-ups. Wow. They're just too British for their own good.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. That's funny.
No, good shit, man. So how are you liking the job right now?
Yeah.
How does it feel? Are you talking to listeners a lot?
Yeah, we do. Yeah. Oh, fuck, man. Sometimes, like, in the weirdest ways. Like, today, I had the most depressing one. Not to bring down the jovial mood that we've been discussing here, but this guy phoned in today, and he was like, hey, and I could hear the radio blaring in the background, you know what I mean? And he's just got this sort of disheveled voice. And he's like, I'm looking for this song, and my wife used to like it. My wife's passed away. We're having her funeral. And I need this, I need to know what this song is. So we went through it, and I think it was Spiral Staircase. Let me look it up here. Hang on a second.
Spiral Staircase.
I don't know, I'm looking it up here. Yeah, pop band, 1969 single, More Today Than Yesterday. That's the one. Anyways, that was super depressing today. And it was literally like, it was 9:59 AM. It was 1 minute from walking away out of the studio being done for the day. And the phone rings and I'm like, yeah, what the heck, I'll answer it. And it was that call. But I think that's, you know what, man, that meant something. And when I look back on it now, it's like that actually probably was important that I was there to take that call.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, I do hear from listeners, to answer your question. Yeah. We have some regular callers like Bob, or we call him Bargain Bob. He always phones in and gives us like what the deal is on meat this week, you know, and stuff like that. Like he's a newspaper or like and also flyer delivery guy, right? So
yeah,
the newspapers, and so he sees all the flyers in them, and he's able to like call in and tell us all the deals. So God love Bargain Bob.
Bargain Bob.
Yeah.
Back to like the timing there to like pick up that one call that was right at the end of your shift.
Yeah,
I love that stuff, man, because like that's when it starts to feel like you get the service element of the job that just really strips away like any sort of ego, you know, I mean. And I guess you don't want to get too into that, but I feel like that's such like a important thing where
oh, no, dude, that to me is super important. And I know that not everybody shares that value, you know what I mean, in terms of, you know, you've got people who listen to your show, or you've got people who, you know, who follow the format, or whether it's you or the station or whatever, you know, you're like a politician almost. You're working for them in a lot of ways. That, and that's my approach, right? So, and I think, you know, that's also, again, that's, I love things that are a dying breed. I think that's one of them as well. You know, we're in a selfie culture, right? So there's a lot of people that take that on mic too. Approach in the
mic. What's your, like, I guess you do this, which is unreal, and I follow it. General social media though, what's your mindset with it?
Oh man, right now my mindset is just baby photos, dude. Oh my god. I just can't help it. Like, I'm just like, oh my god, my fucking child is so damn beautiful. I have to share it with the world every damn day. I have. Yeah. I'm sorry, everyone. I'm so sorry. Like,
does it make you wonder what parents did back in the day before social media?
I don't know.
I guess mail in photos all the time, or that urge, I imagine, still existed.
Yeah. I mean, my dad was a photographer. So there was plenty of photos of us growing up. So, you know, of course, because it was his trade, right?
Yeah.
But not everybody maybe has these kind of photo opportunities or photo albums. I never thought of that, actually, Lou. That's interesting.
So that's what you're doing, just plastering social media with
That's all I do. Yeah. Well, no, I love videos of people getting hurt. I can't get enough of them. I love dank jokes. I love Norm Macdonald. I love, you know, I again, within the reasons of, hopefully within the limits of taste, you know, I love posting videos in my Instagram stories that are, you know, weird, like double takes, like what was that, you know? And then if someone has to go back and be like, what the fuck was that, and go back to the story to go check it out because it expired, I'm like, then I succeeded. Question mark things like that are fake, like photoshopped and stuff like that.
Nice. Yeah, it's just it's challenging. I think it's challenging because some people are so good at it, though. And it does feel like work. It feels like it's hard to take my cell phone out sometimes. Do you get that? Where it's you don't think to take it out, you know? Or
I'm addicted to Twitter. I can't help but be on Twitter. Yeah. I don't relate to that. Actually, the only thing I would rather, well, no, that's not true. I do. I actually, some days I have those days where you want to you know what? I'm throwing this thing in the lake and I'm just going to get a Motorola Razr from 2005, just on eBay or something. I kind of miss those times too, in a way.
You're not 100%
sure. But in another way, I fucking love mixing it up on Twitter. And I love, I still do like social media.
I don't want to sound hypocritical because I agree. I also like the dumb jokes and the Norm MacDonald YouTube wormholes and I watched the story. So I'm doing it as well. When you talk about those days where you do want to go back to the Razr, sometimes what I think about is how there was never like a contract that like we all signed that now we're like reachable 24/7 and everyone will carry around like a full computer in their pocket. And it just seems funny. I mean, I guess we picked the wrong business if we wanted to go, off the grid Motorola Razr, but,
exactly. Yeah.
I just think it could be more like celebrated or encouraged as a society.
I guess, man, I'm neutral on the topic, I have to say.
Wouldn't that be an interesting experiment to conduct?
Yeah.
Never do it. Yeah, all right.
No, bring it on.
I think that could be like how long could you go phoneless? How long would a radio that you go phoneless? I mean, I guess they are all telecommunications giants.
I guess, here's the thing. Like, I only do social media, for the radio station, for the company, when I'm at work. And so, there's an iPad on the desk. I've got the browser in front of me. I mean, I'll do social media for them, no problem. That's the way I look at it. But then I do, when I get off the air, I kind of am just like, oh, yeah, I should probably tweet something on my behalf today. Say good morning at least to everybody. Sometimes that's a grind. Sometimes I wish I didn't have to do that.
Oh man, now I'm thinking I should start doing it more.
Wishing people good morning?
No, just like tweeting or just playing the game. This is a thing that I also do too. So if I do say I'm going to start tweeting more.
Yeah.
How many times you type something and delete it, type something, delete it, type something, delete it, and then you go, fuck this, I'm not putting anything out.
Too many times, man. I've deleted, I'd say my worst is maybe 6 times. But yeah, I've definitely done it a ton. Pain in the ass.
I guess that's a cool thing, though, because then it's like it really lets you be like efficient and sharpshooter with the word and the language, with the language.
Yeah. And again, that's comedy too. You want to take out the fat. Radio too. You want to take out the fat. Although I love leaving the fat in because it pisses people off on the radio.
Who do you mean it pisses? Oh, it pisses like
everybody. Everybody. Nobody likes it.
So that's what
news, like keep. News was late today.
Is that a Norm MacDonald trait that you have where you can amuse yourself by pissing everybody else off?
Sometimes, yeah.
Going on a little too long?
Yeah, sometimes, yeah. Sometimes I would say that. Yeah, if I'm in a mood, yeah, sometimes.
So I think one of the biggest curses about the line of work that we are in is that it makes everyone's stories so painful to listen to sometimes. Like at a family dinner,
Oh, yeah.
And you're listening to someone that's just lost everyone in the room with the story, And yeah, you almost want to help them. Like, hey, Nana, I'm going to talk to you after dinner and give you a couple pointers.
Yeah, no, that's good, man. I like that a lot. Cause yeah, my family, oh man, my mom. Yeah. I mean, actually, there's so many people that, yeah, they lose the room, but they don't know they've lost the room. And yeah, you got to have that situational and observational awareness, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I found that's something too, like normal situations and like normal people fucking bore me. That's the other thing too. Like all my friends are stand-up comedians and or musicians or, you know, like whatever. Right. So it's like, all of a sudden I'm at like a, you know, some kind of cocktail party or something. And I'm just like, oh yeah, cool. Like I don't really have much to talk about. You know what I mean? So it's like, I find that just musician and comedian types are interesting people. They have things to say or do, or, you know, they're always trying to make you laugh. Right. And, I guess I just, I demand that from my circle.
Good. I don't hang around with boring people.
Don't be boring.
What if they're family members? Same rules apply. I find you boring.
Yeah, well, no, I wouldn't. I know, you know what? I think most of my family's pretty interesting. Yeah, they're okay. I mean, I come from good stock.
How much does a new dad get to drink?
Not very often. As you noticed when we were in that garage party way back, that was my first time actually drinking since having the baby. And I mean, I got drunk this past weekend. Actually, you know what? I get to drink not that much, or a fair amount, actually. Really, but not like I used to, you know.
Gotcha.
But yeah, this past weekend, and maybe once a month I'll get a chance to tie one on.
Oh, okay, once a month.
Yeah.
That's not a lot.
No, it's not. No,
I think bi-weekly is good. I mean, I don't know. I'm not a father, but I feel like no, bi-weekly could be sustainable. No, that's pushing it.
Well, I'm going to introduce you to my wife. I'm like, honey, you be here to negotiate on my behalf. I would love his aid in this negotiation. No, I don't know, man. Where were we? Sorry, man. I'm stoned.
Okay, next question. How much do you get to smoke? How often do you get high?
That, however, is not so bad. The whiskey, yeah. I do get a fair amount of smoke in. You know, sometimes I get to smoke twice a day, but I for sure every night get a good smoke on.
So, are you productive? High?
Yeah, I have to be now, especially. If I get any time where I'm not helping out around the house or not helping with the baby or playing with the baby or snuggling with the baby or whatever, I gotta be on my phone. Even if I'm out smoking a J sitting in a lawn chair in the backyard, I still gotta be on my phone, like tweeting or doing something, checking my work email or doing something, right? Keeping up on whatever. There's always someone to reply to a text to. There's always a inbox waiting for me that I haven't got back to in a couple of days because I've been so busy. Having a new kid is fucking crazy. And I know everybody told me that. Like, everybody was like, yo, it's going to change your life. Yeah, it really does, man. Yeah, it's like the number one drug. Like, it's the number one thing. When you wake up, the first thing you think about when you open your eyes is your baby. And before you go to bed, the last thing you think about before you close your eyes is your baby. And it's like, you know, when everything is just centered around the baby all the time, getting back to texts and emails, it's like when you get a minute to do that, you take it. So yeah, definitely when I'm getting high, most of the time, if you've emailed me and I reply to you, they all will be stoned. That was it, especially on email or a Facebook inbox.
Nice.
Yeah, I will be stoned for those messages. Thank you very much.
What are some things that we didn't get to here?
I don't know, man.
I really am looking forward to the Big Chris Live where you do talk to some former colleagues in your time in Kandahar. What else is coming up in this season?
Yeah, great transition, Lou. What else is coming up this season? There's that. I've also, on the rock and roll side, I've been talking to Harv from Monster Truck, John Harvey, who's a vocalist, bass player for a freaking kick-ass band again. There's Hamilton again. Loved my time in Hamilton. And that was, you know, that was the one thing too. Like, everyone knows me for my Kingston ties with, you know, the Hip and the Glorious Sons and bands like that. But I've been fortunate that I've been able to, like, get a chance to see two really big Canadian bands that, you know, in their infancy, and Monster Truck was one of them. I have their first, I still have the CD, the demo CD, or like the 3-song EP that they put together when they first got going. They won the Y108 Battle of the Bands, you know, when I was there. Like, it was, you know, I got to know these guys a little bit, so I'm excited to catch up with Harv, and gonna reunite the Older Dads Club back onto baby business. My best friend Patrick had his baby, and we've had a couple of these episodes now with the Older Dads Club. You know, and it's filled with dudes who are over 40 who are all having kids. One guy actually is getting a reverse. He's already got two kids, but he's got a reverse vasectomy, and he's gonna try and have a third. So we're following along with his progress. My other buddy, Joe, he's like 42 and he's got twins for the first time. You know, there's some great storylines going on. Anyways, Patrick, who is my best friend back in Kingston there, he had his baby Freddie just not too long ago. And so we're going to catch up with him, get the gang back together. So for those who follow along that sideline, that'll be happening as well.
Sweet.
Yeah. I'm trying to think what else, but.
Monster Truck has so much energy, man. Like, I work at a rock station, and every time I get to go into a Monster Truck song, especially if I have a good call, yeah. You know, a caller where it's a caller's voice and some laughing, and the sound of that going in over a heavy riff, heavy intro,
yeah,
always kind of like, yeah,
yeah, you know, no,
I get my radio, yeah, tingles. Yeah.
Monster Truck had some like massive like hit rock songs, like massive, and it was so crazy. I mean, they still probably will when they release new stuff, right? But you know, like, it's so cool to see these bands grow up. Glorious Sons, obviously, you know what I mean? Like, you know, it's cool to be at the infancy of them too and see their first gigs at the Merchant Tap House, you know, downtown in Kingston. So yeah, you know, I'm looking forward to catching up with some of these bands, you know, and reviewing, especially with Monster Truck, man. Like, just getting back into the Hamilton of it all, because that was such a great time in my life. Although I was poor and broke as fuck, I had a blast and got really stoned. It was good.
But no tattoos. Not even a microphone tattoo.
No, I do not have the classic microphone tattoo with flames coming out of it or what. I do have some ink. I do on my calf, but it's not a radio or rock and roll nature. It's just a Celtic, you know, Irish thing. It's on my.
I wonder how many people out there in the biz have the microphone tattoos, but work in sales. Mm-hmm.
Oh man, I don't know. I haven't seen a lot of salespeople topless. So,
man, I haven't seen a lot of salespeople in
years, man. It's been a while, right? Yeah, the buildings are weird. It's weird working in radio now, because it's like one or two people get to go into the building.
Can I go inside baseball here for the K Rock building?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
So I haven't met any of the sales guys. I've only like. You talk to them in Zoom meetings or that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But this is the building there on Princess and Bath, the KPMG building there.
Yeah, it's always been there, yeah.
Yeah, and so I get to meet other people that are working in other offices on the different four floors here in the parking lot, and they always ask about sales guy Jeff Falcon.
Oh, yeah, Falcon, yeah.
Yeah, did Jeff Falcon make a big impression on you?
Oh yeah, man. Well, it's hard not to, like, he's got one eye. So, you know, he's it's funny that his last name is Falcon as well, and he's got the eye thing. Anyways, but he's so hilarious about it, dude. He's always got these lines, like, and I remember one time right when the arena was being built in Kingston, he's like, "Yeah, I got a tour of the new arena." Yeah, I was down in section 1I, bud. great seats down in 1I.
Yeah.
I just like, all right, man. So yeah, Falcon. Yeah, I know the guy. Anyways, what about him?
I'm just impressed that so many people in this building always ask me about Jeff Falcon. Like, did he go? It's like he knows everyone in all these offices. So maybe he was dropping off his business card. I don't know.
Falcon is a super connected dude, man. He's a good lad. Yeah. What can I say? I love him. Known him for a long time. Good guy. Yeah.
Give some other shout outs here to your time at K Rock.
Shout outs? Oh, well, obviously to Wendy Boomer, but she's been on the podcast too. Yeah, she's doing country music now. Wow, man, I'm trying to think of like the old lads across the hallway, Big G and Maddie. There's a newscaster in PEI, Prince Edward Island, named Boomer Gallant, and he looks just like Big G, or they could be brothers or related to each other. Anyways, that's a weird aside.
Did you work here when they had a contest for Buffalo Bills tickets and they buried tickets and all this shit?
No, that was way before my time.
Okay. Tell me, what was a memorable Big Chris stunt in the K-Rock time?
Oh, that was easily, I was talking about this today actually with somebody, was the prostate exam. I had the prostate exam live on the air.
Nice.
I said, if we raise X dollars for Movember, I'll get a prostate exam. And of course we raised X dollars on the Movember page for, you know, that we met our goal. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to get the prostate exam, but first we got to find the right doctor. So we had like a reality contest to find the right doctor. So we had four different doctors come on the show and we interviewed them. And then also we like measured their fingers, like in terms of length and width. And then put it up on the website for people to vote on. they voted for the doctor with the widest finger.
Yeah, of course.
And so anyways, that doctor ended up doing the job. But then we had Shane Goudreau. Shout out to Shane. And I think he's out west now. But he's a Kingston legend. So he's done tons of murals and artwork all over Kingston. He came and did a painting, like an oil painting in the studio of the prostate exam. I'll get into that story in a minute actually. But then the next year we auctioned off the painting for Movember again, and the winning bid was a restaurant which is just down the street from K-Rock called the Star Diner. But the Star Diner's closed now.
What did they do with it?
It hung. Well, I'll finish the story, Lou. I can't wait. Where did the painting go? I'm in the back of my head, Lou, I'm like, I'm not this great of a storyteller. I can't be. But anyways, they won the painting. They created a booth for us for years. They've got this fucking like this giant painting, and people would be even like, just maybe a year before the pandemic, people were like texting me pictures like, hey man, I'm sitting in your booth, boop, and you know, take a selfie and text it to me. It was like a living billboard. Like it was a permanent billboard in a restaurant with, of course, my face is like, oh, like, ah, like yeah. I'm fucking prostate exam. Right. But, but like, it was a permanent billboard of my face in that city. That was probably my favorite thing, the most memorable stunt. There was a few others too, but that would be the one for sure.
Amazing.
Yeah.
How did you play that for laughs on air, or did you want to send the message that it wasn't a big deal?
No, we did it for laughs, but there was a serious undertone, obviously, because it was for Movember. You know what I mean? It was to raise awareness for prostate cancer. And, you know, we talked a lot about that stuff, but you know, it was all about just like asking awkward questions at the right moment. You know what I mean? I don't remember all of it, but I think one of the things was like, Doc, am I warmer than most? Or, you know, I don't remember all the ins and outs, but I just remember thinking it was great.
Yeah. That is unreal. And what year did that be, Chris?
2014, 2015, something like that. Yeah. Yeah. Not that long ago, but long enough.
Yeah.
Long enough ago. But yeah, no, that was good, man. I mean, again, I was always reminded whenever I'd go and have some bacon and eggs. It's too bad. So the Star Diner, I tried to get a hold of the owners to see if I could get the painting back. And they have been taken off to parts unknown. Nobody knows where they went. They just poof like a puff of smoke. So I talked to the like the building owner or the building manager or whatever, and I was like, hey, you know, can you get me in there? Can you go in and get the painting? Cause it's kind of mine. You know what I mean? I kind of played it like that. I kind of want it cause it's got my face on it. And he says, yeah, sure. And he never called me back. And my wife is actually giving me shit today about it. Like you never called to follow up with him. Cause he never called me back about it. And I'm just like, you know what? Couple of people told me that they dined there like a little while before the pandemic and that they'd taken it down is what they told me. So I'm like, I'm not sure. I think maybe they split town with it. I think that's what happened. They split town. They were like, we're taking Chris's painting and we're out of here in the pandemic.
Well, since this is the first episode of the new season, maybe we'll get one storyline out of this for you, where since I am in the same kind of block as the former Star Diner, I can do some investigating for you.
Oh, that would be amazing. Yeah,
I can be your man on the scene if you need me to go anywhere or be anywhere, and then you can check in from time to time on
okay,
on how I'm doing. I can also throw the call out to listeners.
Well, yeah, you might be able to do that. Yeah, that would be hilarious. Well, Lou, any assistance, my friend, you could be a gumshoe, if you will. You could be our PI on this case. Thanks for your pro bono work and your offer. That would be hilarious if we could get that back.
We're going to get it. It's a counterfeit.
Well, this has been fun, man. This is great hanging out and just catching up and everything. It's been and thank you to everyone who's followed along with the podcast, you know, and has kept up and subscribed and joined in, because you know, I'm excited to be back. It was a break. It was a longer break than I wanted. The last episode actually was Indigenous author Rick Revelle, and you know, we talked about some very serious stuff, obviously, with the Indigenous stuff. It was kind of a heavy episode, but I felt like that was a good period. Like, okay, good. Boom. We can end the season on that and then start fresh with some new stuff. But we moved. So building the new studio with the baby, juggling all the life of it all, you know, it sort of delayed things. So I'm super stoked to be back. And Lou, thanks for hosting tonight. It's a great way for me to ease back. I'm like, get somebody else to do my job. The old switcheroo.
It was all right. I think it went okay.
Yeah, you're good, man. You're great. You're good shit. I always enjoy your company. So yeah, next time I'm in Kingston, we gotta hit that garage. I don't know if I can convince the missus to every 2 weeks, but I'll see if I can come down sometime this fall, man.
Fuck yeah. And we'll get that fucking painting.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And yeah, we'll get Lou back on to check in about the painting and whatever else, man. We'll put you on a panel in an upcoming episode again, too.
Awesome. All right.
Good night, everybody. Thanks, Lou.
The Podcast Super Friends is a monthly meeting of five podcast producers.
Hi, I'm Catherine O'Brien from Branch Out Programs in Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
I'm John Gay from Jagged Detroit Podcasts.
I'm Matt Kundle from the Sound Off Podcast Network.
I'm David Yes from Pod 617, the Boston Podcast Network.
And I'm Johnny Peterson from Straight Up Podcasts.
Together, they form the Podcast Super Friends, an alliance of podcast masterminds sharing best practices, insights, and discussions to help make you a better podcaster. Follow or subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or at soundoff.network.
I'm Jeff Woods, and I'm shining a light on music and the rock stars who make it.
He just was one of those people. He stood out.
He was a magic guy. He really was a magic guy. We all have force. He had the same amount of force as we all had.
This was before Led Zeppelin. Robert was full on. I mean, he was Led Zeppelin without the band behind him. He had the hair, the jeans, the whole thing, you know. And he was amazing.
The Records and Rockstars podcast, heard around the world and yours to hear wherever you get podcasts. All the episodes from JeffWoodsRadio.com.